Hello, and thank you for joining us for part three in our conclusion of Race in America, the Ongoing Divider. In this final segment, I tie up the loose ends and give you a few more of the experiences that my family and I lived through in the east side of Washington State, Bellevue, Kirkland, Redmond area. And I must tell you that it was exhausting just reliving the emotions and the trauma that it caused to my family. So we are going to leave it open. You're welcome to make comments, and let's see if we can make a difference in America. Thank you. So after I started experiencing issues at work about my race and the hang-ups, and my car got keyed, and another time someone they unscrewed my chair at my desk while I was pregnant. I was 8 months pregnant with my son, and it got so bad that some of the people who were still nice to me actually did things to protect me. I remember one lady actually said, you know, if you're going to express your breast milk, put it in my lunchbox. I just wouldn't feel safe with you putting it in refrigerator. And that was kind of hard. It was kind of hard being a mother as it was, and then being pregnant with a second child and having to watch myself like that and have people fear for my life. I remember one day my dad showed up at work, and he said, baby, I just was worried about you because you hadn't made it home yet. And I said, honey, I said, you know, I'm okay. No, you know, don't worry about it. And that was the kind of thing that my parents went through. And so by the time my children entered elementary school, I had hopes and dreams that things were better. I remember finding out that they weren't any better. I remember my oldest son having issues with kids calling him things like brownie buddy and telling him he was the color of boo-boo and picking on him, hitting him, fighting him. I think one day someone hit his head into one of the flagpoles or something. And another day, kids followed him home and taunted him. And it was just, thankfully, one of the neighbors, and I don't know who the man was, but he actually told the kids to leave my son alone. And I think he or held them there so my son could walk home. And then there was a time that my son got sick at school, and he asked could he call home for help? And actually, it was the lady at the office, and she told him no, he couldn't call for help. And he said, I'm having trouble walking. And my son had, he didn't make it home for a while, and we were all worried. My mother called me. I left work. A few of my friends drove me to my house because I was so worried about my child. And we ended up finding him struggling to make it home. And he had had an allergic reaction to the medication that he was on. And it would have been a simple thing for the lady to do, to just say, hey, if you're sick, I know that you have other health issues. Let's go ahead and make that call for you and make sure you're okay. But she didn't care. And so I got tired of writing letters. I was writing letters so much that principal actually asked me about joining the parent PIC committee. I think it was parent information committee. And my employer was fantastic. They actually gave me an hour off that I could, you know, make up later to go and volunteer with the school once a month in the program. And I thought it was a wonderful way to help ensure that my children, as well as other children, would receive kindness. And unfortunately, it was not. We had sent out surveys to parents, and I remember some of them coming back with notes saying, this is why we moved out here. We did not want our kids going to school with them in the first place. No, you cannot talk to my child about this issue. that's not what I'm teaching my kids at home. That's not what we want for our kids. And as a mother around the table, hearing this, I was appalled, but beyond appalled, I was shocked because it was still going on. And we're talking 20 years later. And unfortunately, Redmond people, and not all of them, but the ones at that time in that particular school district were not very kind. Their kids were horrific. And I also remember talking to a father and saying, you know, I'm tired of your son picking on my kids. And he looked at me and said, oh, really? And I said, yeah, really. He said, okay. And he just walked off like it was nothing. And I remember just getting angry and just saying, we're going to take care of this ourselves. And so I literally took my son, and I'm not proud of it, but I'm glad I did. I took him to the gym mat, and I just had him punch as hard as he could into the mat. And I told him, from now on, if that kid does this, if they do that, this is your response, because I'm tired. I've asked the school district. I've threatened to write the school district. I've asked the principal. I'm involved with the committee. I'm taking off time. I'm even there other days of the week, just checking up the playground, and we're not getting any support from the parents. And I remember being told that they couldn't really do anything because some of the activity was happening on the school bus and some of it was happening at daycare. It was just always an excuse. And so, unfortunately, I had to take the issues. And once I took that issue in my own hand, it stopped. That particular kid stopped bothering my child. But my second son ended up being in that same school and having problems. Once his son graduated and went into junior high, he was left alone and he started getting those kind of treatments, and he didn't tell me. And I felt really bad when I found out later. So basically I learned that my kids were, they were treated like I was treated, and it made me feel really bad as a mother. So it's interesting to me when people talk about Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter and White Lives Matter, that people are not looking at the bigger issue. They're not looking at the issue of what people with my complexion face. And I don't think they can understand it because they don't deal with it. And some of them choose to pretend it's not happening. And I can guarantee you that it's still happening. So I wanted to open up the thoughts on that topic, and I'm going to wait and hope that someone has some comments, and then we can address it again, because there are new issues in the battle for equality that I think would be awesome to discuss. So I'm going to leave you with that thought, and I hope you take time to drop a comment. Peace, blessings, and joy to you. All right. Have a great day. Goodbye.